hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
19 years ago, I walked into a church like this and never been in a church in my life. And I was drinking heavily, my marriage was wrecked, my life was a mess. And I came in to a church like this, and standing at the back, and God breathed on me. And when He breathed on me, I felt the love and the warmth of God in my life. And next morning I woke up and my whole life was different. The grass was greener, the skies were blue. My life had turned around. If you're here this morning, you're standing in this church, it's the first time, that can happen to you today. Now God loves you so much that even though your life's in such a mess, He's prepared to reach out and just touch you without saying a word. You don't have to do anything. So God, just breathe on us this morning. Just come. People are hurting this room today like I was. Just breathe on them now, God. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Grab a seat, guys. Hey, my name is Paul Gillian. I'm the senior pastor of Eastside C3. Welcome. All guests and people here this morning, it's great having you with us. Hey, just a couple of things. We've got a great young woman speaking to us today. But just want to, if you're here for the first time, you'd like to know more about our church, or you'd like to get involved, we've got these cards on our info desk. You can fill them in, and we'd love to get in contact with you. So, and if you fill one of these in, you may even get a welcome pack out there. It's got some chockies and bits and pieces in it. So isn't that cool? A couple of other things I want to talk about. We've got a women's conference coming up in a couple of weeks. The registration forms are on the info desk as well. This is at South City in their location. We've got a great couple of great speakers there. We've got Tess Cameron from C3 Tauranga, and she's awesome girl, so come and listen to her. She's going to be speaking here the Sunday night as well, and her husband's going to speak on the Sunday morning, so they're going to be awesome. So get one of those and fill it in. Also, if we've got a couple of shots up there of our Fiji exploits, there we go. So a bunch of us are going. 18 of us going to Fiji in 3 weeks? 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Yeah, 20th of July. And we're going over. We're going to take down an old house like this in the really poor, slummy part of Latoka, and we're going to build that family a brand new house like that. Awesome, eh? Yeah. So I said last week, the water comes up to virtually the height of those stilts there. So it was up to virtually the top of that pallet in that house when it floods. So, and they lose normally half their roof every time as a hurricane. So we're looking forward to that. But what I'm saying is we're doing a bit of a fundraiser. So out on the whiteboard in the foyer, there's a whole pile of different things that people will do and services and things you can bid for, and you can go in there and grab one of these wee forms, write down the item you'd like to bid for, and put it in the box, so it's a blind auction, so it goes in the box, and 2 weeks let you know if you've won or not. So, mine's the best prize. I used to be in the car business, so I'm going to groom someone's car for them, so, bit high, yeah, it's going to be a good job. Well, I shouldn't have said that, should I? Silly. Don't bid. Hey, we're looking. This is really exciting stuff for us, and we've built a house once before, a single bedroom one. This one is a lot bigger family living in that little shoebox. I really want to bless these guys. So if you could bid on some of these items, there's paintings, there's carpentry, gardening, heaps of stuff. So if you need something done, we're the guys to do it. Awesome. Great. Hey, I'm going to invite Vanessa. Vanessa's a young girl in our church. She turned up here, a year and a half ago? About a year and a half ago, just walked out the back, planted herself there, and we've just seen some amazing changes in Vanessa over the last year and a half, and she's done awesome. She serves in the church, she runs the cafe. So, hey, why don't you give her a big hand? She's going to talk to you this morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to see new faces here. Welcome to C3 Eastside House Party. You made a good decision to come here this morning. Okay. So, my name's Vanessa, and I've been coming to Eastside for around about a year and a half-ish. And so I'm just going to quickly just share a little wee bit of my life with you and hopefully encourage some people. So I'm not originally from Christchurch. I grew up in the North Island, Whangarei. And I didn't really know my dad because he actually walked out on us when I was around about 7 years old. And I just remember when Dad left, I felt like he took some identity with him. You know, I didn't really sort of know who I was anymore. I didn't know who I belonged to anymore, whose daughter was I, you know. So I sort of grew up quite angry, I guess. Mum said I was, out of the three girls, I was probably the angriest. So I guess I carried a bit of a chip on my shoulder growing up. So, and my mum struggled to raise us three girls on her own. And I remember going back and forth a little bit with aunties' places and uncles' places, and I remember going into foster care for a little while, and so, but I just grew up kind of angry with that chip on my shoulder, and so as soon as I was able to, I left home at quite a young age. I think I was around 15, and immediately I got into things like witchcraft, partying, drugs, that whole sort of lifestyle, and any drug that came along, I would try it, you know, just different pills to weed or acid or whatever it was. Anything that came along, I was willing to give it a try. Just trying to find that escape, I guess, you know, just find a place to go to. And so that was how I lived my life from quite a young age, and that sort of went on for quite a few years. But it didn't take long for that lifestyle to start to turn into bad habits in my life. And those bad habits turned into addictions in my life, and strongholds on my life and on my mind and the way I thought, the way I'd done things. So at the age, so that was how I lived for quite a few years. And then at around about the age of 20-ish, I got introduced to crystal meth, which very quickly became my drug of choice. And so gradually everything else sort of got pushed aside because I wanted to get more of this drug. So that became my new addiction on top of other ones that I had. And so, again, it's how I lived for some time. And then sometime later I met a man who I ended up marrying. He became my husband. He was also an addict, so he was addicted to meth as well. So, which meant we sort of, together, we had to do whatever it took so we could support that lifestyle and our habits, you know, and maintain that. So that's what we did, and that involved a very dark, horrible life. It involved a life of crime. It involved a life of extreme violence. It involved a life of gangs, a life of drugs, and a life of weapons. So that's what we ended up doing, and sometime after that as well, we ended up selling meth for one of the gangs up there in Whangarei. And so that meant for us travelling around, picking up big bags of meth, distributing it all around the North Island to pay for what we got, but also anything that was extra that was ours, you know, because we had this addiction to feed. It had such a stronghold on our lives. So that's what we did. And my husband was in and out of jail a bit, and that was our life, and that's how we lived, and that's all we knew. So we'd done that from, you know, for all these years. We didn't know any other way. But you see, so from that young age, I ended up spending 20 years of my life living in darkness as an addict, and probably about 10 of, at around about 10 years. So in the middle of those 20 years, around about 10 years, something funny happened. And I became a Christian. And it was quite odd. And I remember because one particular morning, I ran out of smokes, so I needed to go to the dairy to buy more. So off I go. I'm walking down to the dairy, and it wasn't far, just down the main road. And as I walked past, I had to walk past this church. And I remember walking past, and I could hear this music, sort of a bit similar to what was going on here this morning. And it caught my attention, and I thought, okay, that's interesting. Carried on, went into the shop, bought my cigarettes, come back out, lit up, go to walk home again, but something stopped me, and I couldn't seem to walk past this noise and this music that I heard, although I wanted to go home, but I couldn't stop. And the only sort of the only sort of way I can really describe it is it felt like the hook had got up inside of me, you know, and sort of just latched on and started pulling me. Sort of, you know, like when fishermen cast out their rods and they hook on to something and then they start reeling it in. That's exactly how I can describe it. So I was walking into this church. Now, the thing was, this was Sunday morning and I'd been up since Thursday. So I was in no way, shape or form ready to walk into church. That was the last thing on my mind. It's the last thing I ever wanted to do. But you see, I don't believe that opposites attract. I believe that like minds attract like minds. Same thinking attracts same thing. I believe truth attracts truth. And so I'm truly convinced that that hook that hooked up inside of me, see, there's a place in every single one of us, every single one of us that's inside, and no one can get to that place except for God the Father. And so what happened that morning was there was this connection, this pull, where truth was attracted to truth. And so there was an attraction going on, and what was inside of me was attracted to what was inside the church, the Holy Spirit. You see, and there's this pull going on, so it's like a magnet, and so I'm walking in, so the Spirit that's inside of me, see, this is the same Spirit that God breathed life into Adam. It's the same Spirit that Jesus used when he raised people from the dead. That's inside every single one of us today, right now, whether you know it or not. So that's what it was. So there was this pull and there was attraction, and that's what happened to me. So, you see, we're not from this world, I don't believe. This is just a temporary dwelling place for us. We are spiritual beings. That's how God made us. So that's the part that God wants to connect with, you know? So, and I truly believe that that is what happened to me that morning. You know, do you know that God just loves you so much? Do you know that there's nothing that can get in the way of God's love for you? Nothing. And do you know that Jesus came and made a way for us so that we can connect with that love of God? Because sometimes our lifestyles, our habits, our patterns, the way we do things and that, put a bit of a barrier up. So like for me, with all my addictions and that horrible stuff and the way I was living. And so I walked into church that morning and I became a Christian. But I struggled for a long time to live a Christian life because I was still living that life. See, it was the only life I ever knew. I didn't know how to live a non-Christian life. So that was a big struggle for me. And but no matter who you are and no matter where you come from and no matter what condition you're in, God will connect with you. He wants to connect with you. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you did last night. It doesn't matter if you woke up this morning and just, you know, got angry and lost your temper or did this. It doesn't matter. You can be broken inside, because I was incredibly broken, but I was looking for something in the wrong place. That doesn't matter. God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants that connection. And it's not as hard as you think. Some people think it's really hard. It's actually not as hard as you think. Because he does accept us just how we are. He will meet us. So, you know, we're not. So that was sort of how I lived for a long time. And that's sort of what happened. And I struggled with my Christian walk, not knowing how to live a life for God, because I was still entangled with all this stuff. But when I moved to Christchurch, it was about 2.5 years ago, I think. And I was very, very broken and very, very messed up at that stage, because what brought me here to Christchurch was a series of events that happened when I was back up home in Whangarei. And there were three major things that happened, but they sort of happened within a fairly close short period of time. So within about a year, I had three major things happen. And so my husband had left me, my father had died, and the very last bit of my dead dad's money got ripped off. Some mates of mine, really close people that I probably would have considered family, ripped me off from my dead dad's money. And I had enough by the stage, living that life for so long, seeing so much darkness, seeing what it does to people. I had enough, and I was just in complete despair. I didn't know what to do. So besides killing myself, which I had thought about, the best thing I could do was get out of Whangarei, because I'm born and bred up north, so it, you know, it's a fairly small place, you know everybody. I couldn't go anywhere without temptation, without knowing people in the scene, without, you know, it was all around me, and I had to get out. So what I did was I packed two suitcases full of clothing, I got all my stuff and I just storage, and within a week and a half I was flying down to Christchurch, and I don't know anybody here. So it was a really hard thing for me to do, but I got to the stage where I felt like I didn't have another choice. I needed to get out, because sometimes, you see, God wants to work on us, but sometimes he can't, because we keep positioning ourselves in a place where he can't get in. So sometimes God has to remove us from that place and put us somewhere where we're a little bit vulnerable so he can come in. And so that's what happened. So here I was. I was a broken mess. I was living with strangers. I didn't know anybody here. And for the first time in my life, I didn't have anywhere to hide. Because up until then, you see, my addictions were my hiding place. And they would be my go-to. And I'd be running to them 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. That was just how I lived. I had nowhere else to go. So here I was, completely vulnerable, very, very broken. And it just felt like I had no substance inside. I literally felt like just a broken shell. And I remember being on the floor one night and just a broken mess, and I couldn't stand up. I was physically, just my body was broken, my spirit was broken, inside my mind was broken, and I was just in a terrible place, and it was so sad, and I was bawling my eyes out, and I couldn't even stand up. I just felt that wrecked, you know? And that was the place, because I was so vulnerable, and I was so scared, and that was the place where God's spirit came in. So he took me out of that place, because that's where I keep running to. So he took me out of that place, and the Spirit of God, finally, I let him in. And I've never been the same since, and I will never forget that moment. And it seems like when I look back at other things in my life, it doesn't seem like a big thing that happened. It was just little me and my little old self on my little old floor. But such a huge shift happened inside me, because I was completely vulnerable and my walls were down, and God come in. And so, you know, I have never been the same since that encounter, never. So, band, could you please come up and join me on the stage? And you see, for the first time, I felt loved. I didn't feel ashamed. I didn't feel embarrassed. I just felt love, and it was the love of God, and it's not... didn't have conditions on it. It wasn't because I was at a different place, or I was driving this sort of car, or he doesn't care about stuff like that. He doesn't care what car you're driving, or what clothes you're wearing, or what job you're working at, what you did last night. He just wants to get in. So he just wants to love us, and he wants to love you. He wants to love us. And sometimes we get so caught up in life that we don't realise that we're putting walls up. And that can stop us. It puts a bit of a barrier in between. See, when I became a Christian, I loved, like, don't get me wrong, I just loved the Lord. I loved going to church. But there was so much junk and rubbish in the way that's why I struggled for so long, because I didn't know how to let him in. So, and it's just love. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible, and I talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and he's talking about faith, hope and love and all these things, you know, that we have in the Lord, which is really good. But then he says, and of these three things, love is the best. Love, it's the greatest. See, love can do so much. And we, I don't know if it's not really an orphan thing, because everyone's so staunch up there and they're trying to be letting their love in, you know, and this sort of thing, but we can't live like that all the time. We've got to stop being so staunch with that about our feelings, you know, and let God come in, because he can work wonders. And so all he wants to do is love you. So I just want to really encourage you, anybody, no matter where you're at, doesn't matter where you're at, what stage in your life, God wants to connect with you. He really wants to connect with you, and he wants to encounter you, and you can let that happen today.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.